Afternoon Rush on 7:30. The Game, 97.5 FM, online ESPNCLT.com. Sweet 16 gets going tonight. You got Michigan State, Kansas State. That'll be the first game at 6:30 to talk some Sweet 16, but also just about life over the past year. A pleasure to go over the guest line and bring on the former Davidson Wildcat head coach, Mr. Bob McKillop. Coach, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Bobby, Mark, how are you? Wonderful to be with you.
We're doing great, Coach. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And let's just talk about this past year for you, not being the head coach anymore for Davidson. I know you were there in the stands at games. How was this season sitting up in the crowd watching the Davidson Wildcats?
A different chapter in the life. Need to get accustomed to it. And I think what I miss is the locker room. I miss the relationships with the players. And I kind of miss the strategy. I certainly don't miss the anxiety. And believe it or not, I felt more anxiety this year than ever sitting across from the bench and watching Matt and his team play. And, you know, sometimes you see your son out there in such a challenging and difficult situation. And it kind of gives you a glimpse into that anxiety-prone world of college coaching. And I can only imagine what Kathy, my wife, felt when I was coaching and Matt and Brendan were playing for me. So I feel that anxiety, although I'm not coaching.
Coach, before the season started, did you envision what it might be like to sit there and watch Matt, you know, on the sideline? And then did you find out it's different than I thought it was going to be?
I did not realize the anxiety that I would feel, nor did I realize the difficulty it is to sit there during a game and just be passive. That was not usually my modus operandi when I was on the sideline. And, you know, you're in the stands and you can't walk up and down the sideline. You can't put your arm around a player. You can't yell at a player. You can't cheer on a player. You can't have a discussion with the referee. Different experiences sitting there on the sideline, and I never envisioned it. And obviously, going through it, I found it to be anxiety filled.
For you, then, how did you assess the season? It seemed like definitely down the stretch, we saw this Wildcat team kind of catch their groove heading into that A-10 tournament.
Well, obviously, they got better and better just looking at their record. But it's interesting when the decision was made for me to step aside and for Matt to take over, there was the belief that Michael Jones would be with the team and that Youngjun Lee would be with the team. And here Michael had a fabulous year as a grad transfer to Stanford University. And Youngjun's playing with the Golden State Warriors G League team, Santa Cruz. So you add those two guys to the mix. And the 7 one-basket games that Davidson lost this year could have very easily been victories with those two prolific scorers and shooters and court stretchers and size guys that they were. And all of a sudden, instead of 16-16, it's 23-9, and there's a lot better taste in your mouth after something like that. And so I believe that Matt was dealt a very difficult hand, and I also believe that the leadership skills that he demonstrated were extraordinary. I'm not sure I could have been as patient and as much a leader as he was with the challenges that they faced this year amidst several of the games.
Coach, as the season went on, your conversations with Matt, were those conversations one that you picked up the phone and called him or he would call you? How did that kind of work out? How often did you guys, you know, talk on a given week?
Well, it's his team and it's his program and it's his opportunity. So I stayed out of the picture as much as possible. It was rare that I picked up the phone or he picked up the phone or we sat down and talked about much. I did speak with him on occasion about the mentality, the experiences that you're going to face after a loss, after a victory. So it was not anything to do with X's and O's. It was more what a coach goes through emotionally and mentally as he experiences the wins and lows, the wins and losses, the highs and lows of the season.
And along those lines, Coach, and you talked about it a second ago, you know, just the stress that it took to watching him out there and those close losses that Davidson occurred during the season. Did you find that watching Matt go through that was even more difficult than it was for you when you were on the sideline and you would lose close games like you would?
It was significantly more difficult because you had no control.
Right.
You couldn't then go into the locker room and turn the page and begin a new chapter. You know, you had to rest easy with what you just saw, and you could make no adjustments or amendments to it. And believe it or not, one of the joys of coaching for me was after a loss, you know, it settles in for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and then at 2 o'clock in the morning, you get done watching film, and you can't wait to wake up that next morning and begin the new game plan, the new strategy, the new building of the team that you're going to try to build and capitalize on maybe the pluses and eliminate the minuses. So there was great joy as a coach in that for me.
Now you know what it's like for us. We just get bad about a loss for a long time, coach, as we wait for the next game to happen. Talking with Bob McKillop, former Davidson head coach here on the Afternoon Rush. And with obviously outside of watching Davidson basketball, what's been this past year like for you with time away from the court, not having practices or anything like that?
Well, I've watched a lot of basketball games, and I have complete control of my time, so I've been able to utilize that in a way to help people here on the campus, in our alumni base, in the community at large. So I've given a number of speeches, been part of forums, had meetings, mentoring students, actually speaking to different faculty and staff groups here on campus as well as off campus. So I've kept myself busy, but at my calendar, on my watch. And it's been uplifting because it's a chance to get back in the, so to speak, locker room and inspire and energize. The challenge is, though, that once you do that, once you finish with your locker room speech, you don't have a chance to see it played out on the court because that's maybe your last contact, or your contact isn't on a daily basis as you are with your team.
Coach, we saw towards the tail end of your coaching career, NIL became such a huge part of what was going on in college athletics. And I guess the question is, for now, for potential recruits, where do you think NIL now kind of lands in the pecking order when these recruits talk to schools about possibly, you know, coming there and playing there for them?
It's become almost entitlement now. So there's this fact that it's been given out and everyone expects it. And when there's that expectation and there's that entitlement, I sometimes believe it takes away some of the finer values and character traits that you see in collegiate athletes, the loyalty, the teamwork, the commitment to academics. So I think those things are losing their prominence in the mindset of contemporary student athletes and being replaced by, you know, I got to capitalize on this and make as much money as I can while I can make this money.
Bob McKillop here on the Afternoon Rush. Well, Coach, Sweet 16 does start tonight. We'll see Tom Izzo, Michigan State, in the first game this evening. What stood out to you, I guess, overall, though, through the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament?
I really believe there's been some terrific games from the standpoint of sitting on your seat and waiting for the outcome. I'm delighted that Tom Izzo has advanced to the Sweet 16. I think he's done an extraordinary job with his team this year. And, of course, I have a fondness for him. My last game as a coach was against Michigan State down in Greenville last year, and we went toe-to-toe with them. So there's a fondness for that. Of course, my relationship with Rick Barnes is pretty well documented. He was here with me when I was an assistant in 78, 79, and we've been 45, 50-year-old friends since then. So delighted to see him advance. And so I root for my friends, and I root for guys that I know. And, you know, tonight, the Kansas State, Michigan State game, I root for my friend Tom Izzo. But I tell you what, this coach at Kansas State, and forgive me that I don't know his name, but I watched his press conference, and I was so impressed with his dignity, with his poise, but more his humility. And to be a first-year coach and being on the magnificent stage of the NCAA going to the Sweet 16, for him to handle it in that way was a great statement. So I root for a guy like that.
Coach, we've got the NCAA tournament starting back up tonight, as Bobby said, with the Sweet 16. It's also been a big week in the coaching circle, and no bigger hire than St. John's hiring Rick Pitino That's an area you obviously are very familiar with there in Queens. The impact that Rick Pitino will have on that St. John's program, what do you think it will be?
Well, he'll win there. There's no doubt. He'll get players. He's a street fighter from the neighborhood. He grew up in, I think, Jackson Heights or Cambria Heights in Queens, and then moved to Long Island. And being in the Garden as a Knick coach and being in the Big East as a Providence coach, I think he's got some experiences there that are going to pay big dividends for him. So I sense that St. John's is going to go into a very nice part of their career, their tradition, restoring maybe the glamour and the grandeur that existed at St. John's with Joe Lapchick and Louis Konoseka.
Bob McKillop on the Afternoon Rush. By the way, Coach McKillop going to be honored up in Greensboro. This will come on Tuesday, April 11th, as Coach actually back in 2019 won the Dean Smith Award. That's a long time to actually be given your award, it seems like, here with 4 years, Coach. But what does it mean for you to have this moment? I know Tubby Smith, who won it in 2021, also going to be there.
Well, I'm fortunate to know Dean Smith, and I was a young college player at East Carolina when Dean Smith was hung in effigy in Chapel Hill twice, I believe. I sat and watched as they played, and I think it was the 68 or the 69 Final Four. And, you know, of course, here on the Davidson campus, they don't have too many statues of him here because they think he stole Charlie Scott. And, of course, he beat Davidson in the 68-69 Final Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. But I had that fortune as a player to see him coach. And then in 72, when I became a coach, I had the fortune of doing clinics with him, traveling with him, actually two clinics, and then watching his teams play. And, of course, Matt Daugherty was one of my players. So being in a living room and watching Dean give a presentation as a home visit and seeing one of your former high school players play for Coach Smith. So there's incredible respect that I have for him. And I'm honored that I'll be in the dais with Tubby Smith and get to share this award with him.
Yeah, it's coming up next month in Greensboro. Bob McKillop, former head coach of the Davidson Wildcats. Coach, we always appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Well, Bobby, Mark, thank you so much, and I hope you guys continue to do the great job you're doing with your show, because it's fun listening.
I appreciate those kind words, Coach. There you go, the great Bob McKillop here on the Afternoon Rush. We'll talk more about the Sweet 16, preview the NCAA tournament next on the Afternoon Rush.